Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This is show number 123, and I'm joined, as always, by my buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Good morning, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing good. The last couple recordings, we did it at night, so we could have all different drinks. We're back to our Bloody Marys, buddy.
Yeah, back to our familiar surroundings and recording date or day.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully it stays this way, Dan. The wind isn't blowing as of right now.
There you go.
So, you want to start off with a little news, buddy?
Yeah, a bunch of stuff going on around the holidays here as we close in on Thanksgiving and the Christmas season coming up. Let's see.
Can I make a quick guess?
Go.
Does any of this Christmas stuff have Frozen involved in it?
Maybe.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
man.
No, I was reading online. It's just funny that the people are making the connection with Frozen to the holidays, to Christmas, and those of us that have seen the movie, which is pretty much everyone and anybody, it has nothing to do with the holidays. The movie, in fact, what comment was, the movie actually takes place in the summertime if you think about it. So it's kind of a stretch, but I guess it makes sense. Cold, snow, frozen. I get it.
I have a funny feeling, dude. Olaf's going to be in an Easter basket this year.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Let's see. Speaking of that, the Disney Parks Christmas Day Parade will be based around Frozen this year. So there you go. I know this past week castle lighting ceremony debuted, and I don't know if you saw that online, Doug, but Elsa and Anna and what's his name? Sven? Is that his name? And Olaf are part of that castle lighting ceremony. I saw it. It actually wasn't too bad. I prefer the other one, but I'm a traditionalist at heart, so that's me. But they didn't do a bad job.
If it was up to you, they'd never have nothing but the electrical parade and regular park tickets. But
there you go.
It's okay.
Give me my paper fast passes. I'd be happy. Let's see what else we got here. That what we were just talking about, a Frozen holiday wish castle lighting show at the Magic Kingdom. Again, that was all online, and a bunch of different videos of that. If you care to look on YouTube or any of the Disney sites, you can see that stuff. Jack Skellington's going to join. There you go. There's a character from the past, the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights. They're adding this character in this year to some of the festivities over there at Disney Hollywood Studios. What do you think of that?
I'm okay with it. It's something different, if you know what I mean. At least it keeps it fresh every year.
Absolutely. And I kind of like that character. Although I know that it's the Nightmare Before Christmas, but I always think of him as a Halloween character. But that's my issue.
For some reason, he does. That whole Nightmare Before Christmas more reminds me of Halloween than it does Christmas.
Yeah, it's kind of one of them things.
It's just the vibe you get from it.
Exactly. And other Disney news, if you will, Big Hero 6 opened, I believe, on Friday, this past Friday, and by all accounts, although I have not seen it, it appears to be very popular, and people are saying it's a good movie, so I might have to go check that out.
Yeah, it looks goofy to me, but I'm probably going to like it because that's who I am. I like goofy things. But,
right.
It just don't seem like I don't get what it is, but when you see it, you'll get it and you'll probably like it. I haven't been able to wrap my head around the whole concept of it yet.
No, I haven't either. I haven't watched any of the trailers or anything. I'm just going by bits and pieces I happen to stumble upon or a tweet or a post I might happen to read. But again, not knowing the characters very well and not knowing what the movie's about even, I'm kind of staying at arm's length away. But, this will be good if it is successful. I mean, they can shut the movie down over in Japan and throw a Big Hero 6 attraction over there at World Showcase.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. I see. Wasn't there
that was a
downtown
joke. That was a joke.
No, what I'm saying
Boy,
is...
Boy, you just steamrolled. You didn't even respond.
I wasn't going to... I
Wow.
I'm sorry, buddy.
You didn't get
I'm
my
sorry.
Satire there, did you?
No, I didn't. So I just went through
okay.
it.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Did you see the big... My apologies,
no.
Dan. I was waiting. They were putting the new drink down for me here, so I wasn't totally paying attention.
Okay.
But I missed your joke. But did you see, didn't they have like a big balloon or something at Downtown Disney of Big Hero 6?
They did. I think that's Baymax, the big white guy with the dots in the line. Yeah, I believe they did. I think they did in both California and Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
I was wondering how they walked him around in downtown with all the construction going on.
Yeah, all you see is the head over the construction walls as he's walking around or whatever, floating or whatever he's doing.
I mean, human beings have enough problems walking through Downtown Disney now rather than carrying a big float.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty funny. But, yeah, so that's the doings there. Just a couple of things park-related. We probably mentioned some of these, but the Island Supply in Adventureland, it closed on October 23rd to make room for new retail space. The Liberty Square Riverboat will be closed for refurbishment January 23rd through the 27th.
Liberty Bell? You can't get on the Liberty Bell?
No. Nope. Is it the Lily Bell or the Liberty Bell?
I think it's
the
Liberty Bell.
Okay.
Liberty Bell, the boat's name.
All right. Let's see. Under the Sea Journey of the Little Mermaid will close for refurbishment from February 2nd to March 6th. We all know the Sorcerer Hat's coming down in early 2015. We've beat that to death. Legend of Captain Jack Sparrow is already closed, and things continue to close at Disney Hollywood Studios to make way for whatever's coming. And I'll just comment here that, again, I should have looked up the date before we started recording, and I didn't, but that...
That's who we are, Dan.
Yeah,
that's who we are. We're ill-prepared.
We wing it.
And we don't hustle, as Matthew Berry says.
Yeah, don't hold us to anything. I'll say this just right here. Those of you that listen to our special podcast we put out earlier in the week, Dining Review on Spice Road Table. Last time Doug and I spoke about Spice Road Table during our recent trips down to Walt Disney World, we did go to the Disney website. I went to the Disney website and confirmed what Doug had told me, which was that they did not take the Disney dining plan, and it said that right on the Walt Disney World website. Anyways, we recorded our show, and those of you who heard it heard us say unequivocally that they do not accept the Disney dining plan. Well, our friend Bob from All in WDW was tweeting back and forth with some of his readers to his blog, and that issue came up. So it prompted me to go back to the Disney website, and lo and behold, it now says we accept some dining plans. Clicked on that, and what I found is that they accept everything except for the quick service dining plan. So bottom line is, if you do want to go to Spice Road Table and you have one of the dining plans other than quick service, you can use your credits there.
Yeah, and I wonder how that would work. I mean, because if you just went in there, I mean, I wonder if one credit equals a spicy shrimp, it wouldn't equal. I mean, that's $12. Why would you waste your dining credit on that?
Exactly. And it didn't explain it. Maybe you get two entrees or plates, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. That's a great question. We'll have to do some more research on that, and maybe on next week's show we can clarify that. But again, we apologize for any erroneous information that we may have put out there, but this appears to have been a recent change.
Look at you with the big dictionary word, erroneous. You go, boy.
I can't say dog sometimes, but I can say that.
Hey, look at me. I'm smart enough to even understand what you said, then.
Yeah. but
anyway,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I even went to on our, and I'll give her a plug, which we use allears.net sometimes, too, for her menus. I went over there to look, and even on her menu it has does not accept the Disney dining plan.
Yeah, so absolutely. It's a recent – I mean, we talked about Spice Road Table since we got back from our trip. So what are we, only no more than 6 weeks away from or they're about 6 weeks away.
Yeah.
So it's a recent change. So, again, just want to clarify that in case somebody's going down there and maybe wouldn't go there. But, Doug, you bring up a great point. If it is only one plate you get, certainly not worth it as far as expending a dining credit, because you could do much better as far as food portion or something like that at another establishment.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with the place, why they were having problems with figuring out how to use the dining plan, because it isn't fair to them, because their meals, like if it was a counter service, because it's a sit down, so it isn't fair, because it was, the prices are like in between the two, so they probably couldn't figure out which plan to allow to work there.
Right. What was that word you came up with for the description of a tweener? What did you call it?
A tweener.
No. We invented a word last show. You don't remember.
No, I don't.
We were saying it was between a counter service and a full.
Oh, and a sit down.
Yeah,
and a full
yeah.
service.
Whatever.
Yeah, I forget. I'm so witty that
yeah.
I do so many. I'm so witty. I do so much a day. I forget some.
There you go.
So
there you
it's
go.
Back in the file. I'll have to dig it up.
Okay.
Go to show 122 and you'll see how witty I am.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, like I said, all the holiday happenings are really starting to crank up down there. And I believe, a couple of weeks we'll be recording the Christmas parade and all that stuff. So, again, we're quickly up against the holidays here. And that's a great time to be down there. I know.
I love Christmas.
Yeah,
man.
I know you've said that to me many a time, and we've yet to make the trip down there during, you know, any time between Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve. But that's on the bucket list.
I got a couple quick hitters here.
Go.
Did you hear Downtown Disney at Disney Springs that the Art of Shaving and Baby Cakes is coming there? So Baby Cakes is coming back, which everybody thought would happen.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, I went there a couple of times and enjoyed their offerings. And you're right, even when they closed early on, when they started doing the renovations down there, that was the pretty much rumor, if you will, that don't worry, they'll be back in some capacity. So that's great to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And for all your gluten-free friends out there, you know, our gluten-free friends, you can still get some cupcakes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've had them before, Doug.
They're awesome.
I can't tell the difference. They taste
regular
to me. I mean, they're great.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are gluten-free we've been eating for years that you didn't even pay attention to it until it became, you know, people started to tell you they have gluten problems.
Right, right.
And then Art of Shaving. I mean, Dan, do you get your barber to shave you often?
No, I go to Supercuts. I'm no frills. Just cut it shorter, and I'll be back in a month, basically. But I remember as a kid, though, the old barbers with the leather strap there that they'd sharpen their straight edge with and all that. And I have had a shave like that once or twice in my life years ago, but haven't had that in a while.
Now, I have my barber, Nino. I've been going to him for 20 years now or whatever, and he's awesome. And I've probably had him shave me like 3 or 4 times for like a wedding or something like that. But I do not feel comfortable with that guy. I've known him 20 years, and it still freaks me out to have somebody that close with a straight razor.
I know. It's just like, what if he's having a bad day or he just snaps, you know?
It's just an uneasy feeling just laying there having somebody. Even
right.
when he shaves, because every time he cuts my hair, he shaves the back of my neck with it.
Right, right.
Just how he rolls, he does a good job, and he gets it out, and he shaves, like, right along the ear there to clean it up.
Yep.
And the whole time he's doing that, I'm, like, freaked out. I'm just, I don't know. Just, I'm uneasy with that.
Yeah. No, but that is interesting. So, and I didn't understand that, what you're saying. So there's going to be an old-time barber shop that's going to open up in Downtown Disney. Is that what you're saying? Or Disney
that's
Springs?
I'm
sorry.
Yeah, it's the Art of Shaving. It's going to be where you can go Downtown Disney, get a haircut, and a shave.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, again, it's just, again, probably not anything I would do while I'm on vacation there. I mean, for nostalgic reasons, I have gotten haircuts at the Harmony Barbershop on Main Street, but I don't know that I'd go to Disney Springs to get a haircut necessarily, but I like the fact that it's there. It's just something else they offer.
Yeah, I've been reading, like, you read back and forth, it's supposed to be a high-end, upscale shaving supply store that began in New York City in 1996. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they got all kinds of things opening up down there. I mean, I went into the co-op on my last trip, and I saw this, but I didn't really look at it and understand what it was. But the cell phone case store, did you see that? Was that open, or were you, did you go in there?
No, we roamed. It was just so crowded, and like the claustrophobic phase, like it was just crowded. It was everything going on.
Right.
It was like we didn't hang out too long down there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because of the whole deal of it.
Yeah, no, understood. But anyways, I did go in there and look around, and they had, you know, tons of you know, the typical Disney Tech phone cases all on the wall. But what I didn't realize is you can have your own personal case made, and they have these computer terminals that you can log on to. You punch in the type of phone that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And then there's just like a whole bunch of different themes and patterns and, you know, Disney type stuff that you can have put on your phone, and you fill out a form or whatever, then you pay for it, and they make it kind of like the, you know, the T-shirt, custom T-shirt station.
Like Zazzle.
Exactly.
Yeah, made to order.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool that you can pretty much get it instantaneously. I mean, it probably takes 10 or 15 minutes, I'm guessing, but, you know, you can browse around in the other stores and then pick it up. But I did hear that they do have, again, some specific I think some of the Disney resorts you can get, you know, if you're a DVC member or something like that, you can get a case that, you know, has the DVC insignia on it or something like that. So I think that's a great addition. And I know in the past, Doug, you brought up that, you know, being in construction, you wish they'd come up with an OtterBox or some heavy-duty case that isn't just plastic, which doesn't really work for you anyways.
You took the words out of my mouth. I'm waiting for that, and I can't believe they don't do a higher-end kind of case, because those cases look good. I was looking at ones at Riverside because they had Port Orleans and stuff like that.
Right.
I thought about buying, but the case would actually be virtually useless for me. I mean, it wouldn't protect my phone at work.
Right. That's the issue. I mean, again, if they can make money at it, they'll do it. So where they're expanding out the you know, types of cases you can get and the you know, what you can have put on them. I mean, again, it's all about profitability. If it makes sense, they'll do it. If there's not, if the profit margin is too thin, they won't. It's as simple as that.
See, I would love to have it because it's a conversation piece, which I love when I'm at a customer's house. I'm going over a kitchen remodel or a bath remodel and my phone rings.
Right.
Because it's either, you know, you got a friend in me, or, you know, I have that, and then I have a Disney text ringtone.
Right.
When somebody's texting me.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because it brings up the conversation, and I might also be able to help this family with a trip.
There you go.
Yeah, it's cross promotion. I always wear my Disney hats to my job interviews.
Right. It just spawns a conversation that you don't even have to engage in. You kind of – maybe they ask you a question.
Well, it also finds me – it's hard to explain, but I also feel more trustworthy wearing that than – I either wear that or one of my Phillies or Eagles hats. Like, because I have American Chopper hats and different kind of hats, and wearing something like that – I don't think they trust you as much as they do when you're wearing a Disney hat.
Right.
You seem more trustworthy wearing a Disney hat.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Did you see the new Memory Maker, the PhotoPass, introduces animated magic shots?
Yeah, I did. If you understand it, why don't you go ahead and explain that? I've heard a bunch about it, but why don't you go ahead and give it a whirl?
Well, if you buy the Memory Maker, which I suggest, if you're going to buy it, I would buy it before, and the good thing about the Memory Maker is there's always one person in the family that never's in the pictures, because he or she's always taking them.
Right.
So at least with the Memory Maker, you can roam around to all the Disney photographers. You get all the ride pictures when you get on any of the rides, the Tower of Terror, Test Track, anything that has the picture already built in, Splash Mountain. That's all part of your package. And I suggest you buy it before you leave, because it's $149 before you leave, and it's $199 when you get there. I don't get why they have to charge you more when you get there. I just think it's bullpucky.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, if you forget and wait till you get there, they charge you an extra $50. I don't get why it's $50 more when you get there.
Yeah, it's just, you know, strong-armed marketing, if you will. They figure, you know, if they get you to buy it before you go, then there's you know, no chance that you won't get it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. And when you get there, you're a captive audience. Exactly. You have to buy it. There's no choice. But it's, come on, it don't cost you anymore. Cast members adding it to your package either at the resort or they're adding it to your package at home. It makes no difference. But anyway, it's $149 if you buy it in advance. It's $199 if you wait till you get there. And what's cool about it, there's overlays. You have, like, Swen, you have things from Monsters, Inc., all the regular to Fab Five. And what they do is there's overlays at the park where you can take pictures with the characters. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're walking through Hollywood Studios, the last time we were there, there was one with Olaf.
Nice.
Yeah, over by Toy Story, you know that alleyway, Pixar alley
yep,
there?
Yep.
He was along there. But then there's also video overlays that they can put on after you get home and stuff like that. And it's pretty cool. If you guys want to learn more about it, which I highly suggest because it's ever-changing, because they just released this on November 7th, so it was only a couple days ago. But there's an area, if you go over to Hollywood Studios, there's four locations. There's one over at Epcot behind Spaceship Earth. At the studios, it's on Hollywood Boulevard. There's another one at Epcot at the Norway Pavilion. And at Disney Animal Kingdom, there's one on the bridge near Expedition Everest. So if you want to see how this works, pop into any of those locations, and they'll show you how the overlays and all work for your pictures.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice feature. We've gotten it in the past, and, you know, we've had Stitch coming out of the ground, or the cast member will ask you to cup your hands, and when you get the picture, Tinkerbell's there or something like that. But it's even advanced much further than that. I mean, those were available, you know, a few years ago. This is enhanced, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, it also has a – there's a video version of it, too. There's, like, a video overlay.
Right. And I did hear somebody was talking about it earlier in the week that, from what I understand, when you, like, you get off of Tower of Terror, for instance, you go over and find your picture or whatever, and if you just tap your magic band on it, it'll link it to your band. And like you said, Doug, I think you have up to 25 days. Once you get home, you can purchase it or something like that. So not only does it give you your pictures, your still pictures, but at these attractions that they're now offering videos, you don't have to make a decision on the spot. You can actually purchase them down the road. And it's pretty neat that, again, this is all through the Magic Band that you can see all your media, whether it be video or photos or whatever, and capture your whole vacation like that.
Absolutely. I mean, it keeps the vacation going. Like, after a couple of weeks, you get a Disney stick in your home. Maybe you go on and buy that afterwards. It still gives you the shot. It gives you a little bit of time to marinate over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think what they said is more and more attractions are going to be doing the video. Like, I think it's the Tower of Terror, Mine Train, and there may be one or two others, I'm not sure, that actually have the video feature now. But I'm assuming they're going to do this in more and more attractions as they go forward.
I would imagine that things are ever, you know, evolving down there, which is an awesome thing. Like I said, I'm liking the Magic Bands because I think it's going to be a major thing for kids' safety. When I truly believe that. I think it'll be easier to find the kids when they get lost, and that's what my whole thing is about. I think that's a great thing.
Right. Big Brother is watching, you know.
Yeah, well, little things like when we went to last trip, we went to park at the studios. Because we were going over there, we wanted to show my sister-in-law the whole boardwalk area and all. Mm-hmm. And the lady goes, and we go, we're just visiting. And the girl goes, the girl at the tent, okay, Mr. at the guard hut.
Right.
She goes, oh, okay, Mr. Davis. She goes, you don't have dinner reservations at Rose and Crown? Like, she knew exactly what we were doing,
right,
where we were going.
Right, right.
But we truly were going to, because Donna had never roamed around the boardwalk area.
Right.
We were going to go roam around there and then go to dinner for a little bit, just to show her that whole area. But it's just the point of, they know everything you're doing now. It's a negative on one way, but it's a positive also. If your kids get away, or you can't find them, or they were supposed to meet with you, I'm sure there's a way to see where even your teenage kids, where their last few bands were hit.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, not only that, I mean, with cell phones nowadays, I mean, with your teenagers, you can track them. You have that thing on your iPhone where you can pretty much see where anybody is. Mm-hmm. And I know I've said this in the past, but I'll say it again. If you just think of the sheer volume of kids that are on that property, 43 mm-hmm. square miles, and I don't – I mean – I don't think I've ever remember hearing that a kid was abducted off a Disney World property.
No, and touch on wood, from your lips right. to God's ears, that never happened.
Right, but I guess my larger point is, Doug, I mean, and you know this because we've talked about it, I mean, there is so much security there. Forget the magic bands. I mean, that goofy, you know, tourist next to you in the flip-flops and the shorts and the hat on backwards that you think is – you know, just another tourist is a security guard, and they mm-hmm. do an amazing job. And, you know, it only stands to reason, given their track record of, you know, like you said, knock on wood, of not having an incident with mm-hmm. millions of people that go there every year. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, absolutely it is. And I just love – that's why I feel so safe there.
Right.
You don't – even the idiots are few and far between.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to explain. It's like everybody's on their best behavior when they're there. Even as crazy and as nutty as it is,
right?
You still don't have. I have more problems walking on my boardwalk in a half hour than I have for a week at Disney. I'm not even kidding
right,
you.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm biting my tongue like constantly.
Yeah.
You know, down there I'm not. I'm not. I'm just in a happy place.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen meltdowns at Walt Disney World, a father, a mother, or a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. But I know what you mean.
They're few and far
right.
between.
Right. Opposed to the general population, or just, you know, on any Main Street USA, if you will. I tend to agree with you. Most people are there, hopefully, to have a good time, and they're on their best behavior.
Another little piece of news, and I'm going to smash, crash, and bash this name.
Wow.
The Trattoria Al Forno. Did you see over at the boardwalk the new restaurant that replaced Cat Cora?
I did.
They're going to have breakfast there now, too. So if you guys want to go over there for breakfast, the breakfast menus.
Yeah,
going to be is available.
I mean, I know the Casina did offer breakfast as well, so I'm not surprised that this restaurant does. And to be quite honest with you, it's almost necessary over there. We stay at the boardwalk quite a bit, and there's not many offerings. I mean, you have the bakery, which, again, it's more than a bakery. They have breakfast sandwiches, blah, blah, blah. But as far as, you know, there's no quick service breakfast eatery on the boardwalk. You know, you got to go over to the beach club or the yacht club, the Captain's Grill, or, you know, something like that. So this doesn't surprise me. And I did see some pictures, and I think the menu was up, and it looks pretty good. But again, I think it's definitely necessary over there because there's not much for breakfast offerings in general.
Oh, without a doubt. That's, you know, that's one of their restaurants. It's basically, you know, their eatery. I mean, it's at the boardwalk. It's our eatery. I mean, you need it because, like you said, the bakery just don't cut it all the time.
Right. You know, if you're there for a week, you know, a bacon and egg on a croissant or something might cut it, you know, a morning or two. But after a while, you know, you might want something a little bit more or a different offering or something.
Yeah, you just want options.
Exactly. So that's great to hear, though. It's great to hear.
I mean, you could walk over to you know, Yacht and Beach Club or over to Swan and Dolphin, but who wants to do that? You want to be at your hotel. That, you know, it's the convenience of it.
Right, and exactly like we all do, whether you're at Pop Century or you're at Riverside or whether you're at the boardwalk. A lot of us, you know, get up early and maybe grab coffee or something for the rest of the family and walk back. I mean, I generally went to the bakery when I stay at boardwalk to do that. And, you know, it's the same at all the resorts, but, you know, it's not.
That's what people don't get. The boardwalk don't have a food court.
Right.
The food court is the boardwalk.
Yeah, it's hard to mentally get that in your head. You're right. The boardwalk hotel, if you will, and the DVC portion, all them stores and restaurants and all that stuff that sit underneath the rooms that are above them, you're right. They're part of the amenities of that resort. And I don't even often think of it like that, but you're absolutely correct, Doug.
Yeah, that's their – all that, the store down there, the store on the boardwalk,
yep,
is the general store for the boardwalk.
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, that's where you do all your shopping. All everybody – I think most people think that that's additional to what's inside the hotel. No, that is the hotel food area. That's the whole concourse on the water there. On the boardwalk is their whole food and merchandise area.
Right, and, you know, you get the added benefit of, you know, a place like Jelly Rolls and the ESPN Club and all that, which probably, you know, gives you more offerings than some of the other hotels on Disney property, if you think of it like that. But what they do lack is, obviously, as most of the high end or the deluxe resorts is, you know, the food court type eateries that we're accustomed to at the moderates or the value resorts.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's wonderful all the selections they have, but when cats go down, it kind of ruins your breakfast selection because Big River Brewing Company.
Yep.
And all the ESPN club, they don't offer any breakfast. They're not open till lunchtime.
Exactly, or at least 11 o'clock or noontime. You're absolutely correct. But
and the crowded time of the year, I mean, that bakery gets loaded in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, luckily they just went through a renovation and an expansion. I mean, it used to be, as you know, a little hole in the wall, but now it's, mm-hmm. You know, they've expanded it so that it can, you know, crank through people a little quicker.
But still, it's just without the other restaurant, without Cat Coors serving breakfast, everybody's going there pretty much. And it can be very congested even with the renovation.
No doubt.
So another little piece of news, Dan. Did you hear the file paperwork to update Soarin'?
Yes, I did hear that. Were they going to add a third movie or a third room, I guess, or whatever you'd call it?
It's speculation of adding a third theater, which
right.
Everybody's saying that's what the paperwork. The paperwork's filed to go through 2016 for the permits. So I don't know if they're going to build the new one so they can refurb the older two, or if they're just building the new one and then they're going to or maybe after they start the new one, they're going to they might shut down all three if they have to tie them together. That might be down for a while is what I would think.
Right.
Because I'm thinking if they're going to do a third theater – and the rumors of the new film, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking they're going to – because apparently they'll probably need the time to build the ride mechanics on the third theater.
Right.
So I'm thinking what they'll do is build all that, keep the original open. And then afterwards, I'm thinking they'll tie all three together with the new film and put the new screen on, you know, the original one.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're right. I mean, we've been, you know, all talking about this new movie. And if I don't remember this correctly, but I thought I heard some time back that they had started filming, quote unquote, and, you know, whatever that means. But again, we haven't heard anything about that in a while. So if the reason they're doing this is because they're going to kind of relaunch the whole attraction with a new movie, that makes all the sense in the world. But, you know, not to be negative here, but if they're just going to
– Oh, but that's your job on this show.
I got to keep it real. If they're doing this and going to keep the same movie and just increase capacity, I'm not necessarily for it because I'd like to see Disney open new attractions and different attractions rather than just increase capacity of the existing ones. You know,
just as long as they're not in World Showcase and going after an animated movie,
right.
You're allowed to update it.
Exactly. I mean, it makes sense in some venues or whatever. I mean, the Dueling Dumbos is a good example. I mean, I think that was a good idea. I mean, that always was backed up and, you know, mm-hmm. I've never ridden it, to be honest with you. And my kids were already past that point in their life that wasn't something we focused on. But, you know, I could see, you know, parents with small children that, you know, want to ride that. That was a pain. You had to stand out there and wait so long or get up at, you know, ungodly hours of the morning to get there at rope drop just to get on something like that.
Just in the heat out with the normal turnstile was kind of antiquated. It's kind of like getting on the teacups.
Right.
There's nothing exciting about waiting in that line.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, that was the whole deal there. There's nothing great about that, at least with Pirates or something else. When you get to certain areas, you're with the queue, you're seeing something. You can at least – and you're not standing out in the sun.
Right, right, right.
You just baked on both of them rides.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they're honestly going to – I truly believe that when it – I think it's going to be totally shut down and relaunched as the new movie with three theaters. Because I think the reason they're building the third one is – and this is just me – they see that the crowds are still ridiculous for that ride with how old the movie is. Now imagine how long those lines will be and the fast pass need will be if they change the movie out with the existing only two flight simulators.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people will have to be up at, you know, midnight or 12:01 for when their fast pass window opens
6 months
up.
Out. Yeah, I mean, 60 days out.
People will be on the computer trying to, you know, secure those fast pass reservations. So, yeah, this will relieve some of that pressure, no doubt, if what you're saying is accurate.
I think it's a three-pronged attack. Start working on the old theater, refurb the new theater, launch the new movie for all three, and then this way with three theaters you'll have more capacity because it's going to – I know me. I can't wait to see a new film on that. Can you?
No, I mean, I'm the traditionalist here. I mean, I really, really enjoy the existing movie. I mean, what I don't like is the screen being
the crickles
ripped.
And the cranks.
Yeah,
and...
I mean, you know, I'd like a new movie. I don't have a problem with that. But I think it's going to be hard to top unless they cut in and keep some of the original movie. I mean, when you're zooming over around Disneyland there and, you know, the fireworks go off at the end, I mean, I can't imagine an ending to any movie they present other than that.
See, now I could see it, but I could see you going down I-4 instead of California, you know, and in the Disneyland, going down I-4 into Disney World.
Yes.
Where it should have been. And you fly over, how awesome would it be? I mean, come on, Dan, imagine this. You fly over, you get to see a little bit of Illuminations, and then you finish off with Wishes. Come on, man, that could beat it.
Oh, yeah, I misspoke. I wouldn't have an issue if they were flying over the Magic Kingdom in Disney World. I just meant that type thing going up Main Street USA. To me, whether it's Disneyland or Disney World don't make a difference, but that feeling you get at the end, and, you know, it's a pretty moving, at least in my view, ending to that film.
Absolutely. I think it would be awesome flying down the coast of Florida, seeing all the beaches, going to the Keys, you know, showing you, you know, where Canaveral, showing you Kennedy Space Center, you know, all that. You could see, you could actually fly over and see a Disney cruise ship going out to sea.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure, but I can imagine them incorporating all of that stuff into the film.
You know, downtown Miami, then flying down I-4. Flying over all four parks would be awesome because we don't get to see the aerial views. How awesome is it when you're actually in aerial view like it did the other day with Avatar Land? You're like a little kid in a candy store. How awesome would it be to fly over all the parks?
Oh, no doubt. I would welcome that. Absolutely.
So I'm geeked out over this because I love Soarin'. I do love the original ride. And I can get all my 55 on YouTube anytime I want to see the original. What I'll do is I just get my wife to lift my legs up and down so I can feel like I'm flying.
There you go.
But you know what I'm saying. It's just I'm looking forward to a new one, and I would love to see the capacity. And I think this just goes to tell you permits now or even the craziness of Disney World right now. The permits are now starting to be pulled at Epcot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were feeling that nothing was going on over there, so they might as well throw some dirt around and concrete and such over there and get things going as well.
Even though it's costing us more, nobody can say that they are not spending money there right now.
No, that's certainly true. I mean,
if you look at it, downtown, the Yacht and Beach Club's being refurbished, the boardwalk's getting work done on it. All the other resorts, Riverside was being things being done to weird air. Magic Kingdom is being done, the whole moat area refurbed. You got Hollywood Studios getting a complete overhauling. You got the Animal Kingdom with Avatar. Like, I mean, there's stuff going on everywhere down there. Road work. And, I mean, it's crazy down there. It's like they're building – they're redoing everything.
Yeah.
The Hess Station was just redone, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Disney Springs and the road or the exit ramp off of the highway there. I mean, we were talking about $100 a day tickets. We're going to blow past that in no time, and we'll be looking at $1.50 here soon because bottom line is, as nice as all that is, and it is, and it's exciting, and no doubt about it, I'm all for it, but and at the end, the customer is going to pay for it. That's for sure.
And what's the other area going on? The other crossroads or whatever it is for that other whole dining. The whole dining in a
over at the
shop area,
Western Way. I think they
call
it.
Yeah, Western Way.
Yeah,
it was the crossroads at one time. Yep. They've changed names over there 10 times, but that's a go now.
Yeah, they're going to start on that, which is going to be, again, it was the concept was for a
economic shopping.
Yeah, for cast members and, you know, for guests, too. And they were going to be sort of value hotel rooms, if you will, that are, you know, I'm not going to, not a Motel 8, 6 or whatever, but a, you know.
Not that if Motel 6 wants a sponsor with us, we'll finally stay at the Motel 6. I'm kidding, Dan.
No,
don't trash
no,
Motel
no, no.
6.
No, I'm not. I'm going to be honest with you. When I went to California once, I stayed at a Motel 6 right outside Disneyland.
They left the light on for you, buddy?
They did, and it was a clean room. It was you know, a good value, and it was walking distance to the park. So I got nothing but good things to say about that. Well, at least that particular Hotel 6.
That one, yeah. But I was only kidding with you.
No,
it was a joke.
That's fine.
Buddy, I don't want to get you all fired up. We know how you get when you're fired up.
I was just paying you back for missing my joke earlier in the show.
Touche, buddy. Touche. Here, I'm buying. We'll have mimosas now.
Okay.
Getting a little later in the day.
All right.
But no, and you know Disney, it'll probably end up being more than we expected over there because it's not going to be – nothing will ever be plain Jane on Disney property.
No, I mean, you know, they're known for cutting-edge technology, and they should be if they're not leading the industry and, you know, all these ride vehicles and all this technology. So I would hope that they are going to set the bar with whatever it is they're doing on all these projects.
No, I'm excited. I mean, things are, like, everywhere down here right now. I mean, I wish we were down there right now. I'm down there right now. I can't wait. I mean, you get all excited about this and that, then three more things pop up. Don't it seem like every day you're hearing something new that's getting ready to be done down there?
Yeah, and it's funny because it seems to me, and maybe it's just me, but, you know, a couple short years ago, it almost seemed like there was nothing going on. Things were stagnant down there. I mean, yes, new Fantasyland was being built, but that was kind of the big and only thing that was happening. And all of a sudden, you know, whatever happened, it just seems like they've released the hounds, if you will, and they're just going full out renovating and rebuilding and retooling and refurbing and all that stuff.
They got to the point where they needed somewhere to put their money. They were making so much of it between the parks and all the Avenger movies and Thor. I mean not Thor,
Star
excuse
Wars.
Me, but I like that movie. Star Wars they bought, and they own all that, but I'm talking about like what you call it, the one with Robert Downey Jr.
Iron Man,
you know, making all the money on Iron Man and all the superhero movies and buying Marvel. I mean, they're going crazy. They got profit coming everywhere right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you made this point earlier, Doug, and I think it's true is, you know, maybe us Disney purists don't want to admit it, but I think that our friends up the road there at the other parks that I won't name really kind of push Disney in this direction as well. I'm not going to say it was the only consideration, but I think the popularity of Harry Potter and some of the other attractions up there kind of accelerated Disney's plan, if you will, to
I'll
do
say
some
it.
Of this stuff.
I'll say it. I think that had what there was two part with that. One was the success of it. But two was also the way A.J. Rawlings stuck it to Disney and refused to sign with them. Because she was in talks with both Disney and Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And because she couldn't get complete control at Disney like she could at Universal, that's why she went with Universal, because she wanted it still to be her baby.
Right.
Which I get all that. But I think Disney probably got so fired up and scorned by it, they said, okay, we'll see what we're, you know, and they declared war kind of in a theme park kind of way on Universal, in my opinion.
No, I totally agree with that. And like I said, we, the, you know, the customer or the guest, if you will, we're going to benefit from it because, you know, we're going to get great attractions and new things and refurbished things. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Well, like with Disney Springs and all this, it's cool because every day you got new things popping up, like the Art of the Shave and Baby Cakes coming back. And then next week you'll hear about two more buildings opening up down there. I'm still thinking there's a few more restaurants that are going to be announced down there, wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be surprised if there weren't 6 to 8 more major restaurant announcements for the Disney Springs by the time it's all said and done.
Absolutely, between bars, restaurants, theater. You don't know what's coming, but that's the fun part of this right now. They keep releasing it little by little to us. You know, and every day you get a little new tidbit of what's coming down to downtown Disney.
Yeah, I was going to make a point earlier in the show, and somehow we got off track, but I know I mentioned this before, too, that Destination D, I think, is down at Disney World. I'm going to say the 23rd of November, I think, or something like that. But usually at these major Disney-related, what do you want to call them, seminars, that's not the right word. But anyways, they usually do like to release some information. So I'd be surprised if we didn't get some detail on some of these projects, if only just a glimpse into what they might be with the Destination D. And then the D23 event, which I think is out in California this year, is, I believe, right after the first of the year sometime. So I'm sure – well, I'm not sure, but I'd be surprised if we didn't start to hear, you know, some concrete information from Disney on some of these major projects.
Yeah, because they're going back and forth right now on the rumors of how big Star Wars is actually going to be. And speaking of Star Wars, you got the new movie title released and all that's out now. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure all the Star Wars geeks are going crazy.
Yep.
No offense. I'm a Disney geek. You're a Star Wars geek. We're all in the same club. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know how big they're announcing, how much of the studios. I'm excited to see if there's going to be an announcement of how much of the studio Star Wars is going to take over.
Yeah, that is an interesting conversation, because you're right. You have Pixar Place, and, you know, to me, they got to decide, and maybe they already have, and we just don't know, how much do you expand or build out the Pixar presence in Hollywood studios. And then you also have the Star Wars, and you also have potentially Marvel in some way, shape, or form potentially going in there. So you're right, how they divide the park up and, you know, how they allocate the land that they now have available for these different franchises will be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited, and like you said, at that D23 and all those expos they have, they will announce a lot of that stuff. That's when they drop a lot of the bombs on the community of what's going on, because they'll have artist renderings and stuff like that there.
Exactly. That's what I would expect anyways.
I'm hoping.
All right.
Did you see all the meet and greet and all the stuff has been announced for the holidays?
I did. I didn't cover that earlier, but I don't know. Yes, I did. Do you want to cover some of that?
Yeah, the full entertainment lineup and schedule is out for the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
All right.
And the entertainment's going to be the Mickey Once Upon a Time Christmas Parade is 8:15 and 10:30. So it's run twice nightly. The Frozen Holiday Wish is at 6:15 and 8 p.m. Holiday Wish is Celebrate the Spirits of the Seasons is at 9:30 p.m. A Totally Tomorrowland Christmas is 7:45 p.m., 8:45 p.m., 9:55 p.m., 10:50 p.m., and 11:45 p.m. Celebrate the Season, 7:30 p.m., 10:05 p.m., and 11:20 p.m. The Holiday Hootenanny Dance Party is at the Diamond Horseshoe. I would definitely be there. Are you, Dan?
Oh, yeah, that sounds like something I'd go for.
I'm into a hootenanny.
Yeah. No, it sounds like the, what do you call it, over there at Fort Wilderness. What's that?
The review.
Yeah. God, the name escapes me right now. But, yeah.
The Hoop-De-Doo review.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, that sounds like.
Just so you guys know, it's early in the morning here recording.
Yeah,
the Hoop-De-Doo review.
Yep.
And then you got the club. Tinsel Dance Party. That's a Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe.
How can you go wrong there? With Sunny Eclipse as the MC, I hope.
Happy times, man. Happy times. The meet and greets. Captain Jack Sparrow is at Adventureland at 7:15 p.m. and 10:45 p.m. I won't be seeing him. Aladdin in Adventureland, he's there at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Peter Pan in Adventureland at 7 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. Anna and Elsa, oh goodness, 7 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. And they're at Fairytale Hall. Cinderella and Rapunzel at Fairytale Hall at 7 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. Jack Skellington in Storybook Circus at 7 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. Seven Dwarfs Near the Mine Train in Fantasyland. I think that's really cool now that they stand over there. It really makes the whole thing come together.
Yeah, they used to be out very rarely. I think they'd break out the Seven Dwarfs maybe for the Halloween Mickey's Not So Scary or something like that. But you're right. Now it seems that they're making regular appearances in New Fantasyland, which is awesome.
Yeah, the dwarfs always put a smile on my face, man. They crack me up.
Yeah.
And they'll be over at the Mine Train between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Tigger and Friends, I always like Tigger, man. And Winnie the Pooh, 7:30 p.m. and 10 p.m. Tiana at the Glade, 7:45 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins in Town Square at 7 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. Mickey Mouse at Town Square Theater at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. And Santa Claus, ho, 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 in Town Square at 7 p.m. and 10:45 p.m. And then there's treat locations, complimentary cookies and hot chocolates at the Crystal Palace, Sunshine Tree Terrace, Columbia Harbor House. Yo, can I get a lobster roll? Come on, man, I'm cracking myself
up.
Yeah,
hey, you're doing good.
Pinocchio Village Hours. Pinocchio Village House, 7 p.m., 10:30 p.m. Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe, 8 p.m. and 12 a.m. And then the Tortunga Tavern at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. And then the restaurants are all open, the Main Street Bakery, the Plaza, blah, blah, blah. And then most of the attractions are all open.
Wow, so, quite an offering. That's great. If you know your kids want to get meet and greet opportunities, it's certainly they're in abundance.
Yeah, that's the positive thing. But the negative thing is it closes the park down early.
Yeah, we won't beat that drum again.
I'm beating it then. Come on, man. I'm over here at Liberty Square. I got the big bass drum I'm beating on now.
As long as you're out of the Magic Kingdom by 7, you can beat your drum. Get out.
Yeah, I know, or I got to pay more money, right?
Exactly.
So are you looking forward to – when do you think you'll get down there for Christmas?
Good question. I'd probably say 3 years from now. Because, oddly enough, well, this isn't odd if you're a DVC member, but I'll just say it like this. I'm always like 18 months ahead on my planning. Like, we are ready to book our food and
show.
No, I'm not saying that. But in all seriousness, I mean, as you know, we already got our spring trip already booked, and we're already looking at which week we're going to go for food and wine next year. So, because of the points and you can book 11 months out and all that. I mean, I'm always thinking 18 months out, but at least hard booked for two trips ahead, a year out. So knowing what I know that we're going for food and wine next fall, I'm not going to make a back-to-back trip to be down there for the holidays next year. So it'll probably be the year after. So 3 years or I guess 2.5 years, however you want to look at it.
Well, I can tell you got it bad just by that, which is a good thing. And for next year's food and wine, I might be using the pool out over at the boardwalk if you can get that room for us.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
But, no, I mean, you got to go down, though. It's amazing. We've done it a couple times, and out of all the times we've been, that is absolutely my favorite time to ever go.
Yeah.
I mean, just all the offerings that they have. With you being the Epcot crazy man that you are.
Yeah.
I love food and wine and all that, but nothing beats Christmas at Epcot for me.
Yeah, and I would say, if it was purely, just with the family, I couldn't disagree with you. I mean, that seems like it would be the, best case scenario, and whether you go between Thanksgiving and Christmas and just being with, your loved ones or whoever your family is or whoever you're traveling with, that seems great. I've said this before, the food and wine trips for me, at least, it's twofold. It's not only food and wine, but it's all of the podcasters that are down there and different events that really have nothing to do with Disney World other than we're there. But, yeah. It's more about meeting people and, spending some time with people. So, that's going to be hard to break, or I'm just going to have to grin and bear it and take a back-to-back trip one of these years. So I guess that'll poor me, right? I might have to go twice in 2 months or something like that.
Well, eventually we all move there. We'll really be enjoying it because that's both goals of both of ours.
Yes.
Sooner than later, we're both open. But the thing of it is, it's just the beauty of seeing how they celebrate Christmas around the world. And then you walk in and see the trees and the poinsettia trees and the decorations. I mean, we love the Halloween. I know you've seen the Halloween decorations, but I think the Christmas is so much better. There's just something with Christmas in the air down there.
And speaking of that, we can add a piece of news into our conversation. Did you see the new wreaths on Main Street USA, how they decorated
yes,
it?
Yes, I did.
What do you think?
Yeah, I did that because I'm crazy about that stuff, the wreaths, the reason this show became Main Street Memories and the reason we got Lampy is because I love all the lampposts.
Right.
It's just one of my things. If you roam around, just all the different lampposts in all the parks and all the resorts are amazing, the quality of all of them, the design and how they go with the architecture of every resort. And so, yes, I did see the – they're awesome.
Well, and it serves a major purpose, as you can imagine. I remember when the Festival of Fantasy Parade was released or when it started playing, if you will, in the Magic Kingdom, everybody said, oh, well, how are they going to get that dragon down Main Street USA when they have all the Christmas they used to string them from side to side and all the way down Main Street. So, you know, everyone assumed there'd be none or whatever. And I think they did a fantastic job still keeping it looking festive and Christmassy and all that. But, you know, now being able to accommodate the large floats and dragon and all that stuff for that parade and any other parade for that matter to be able to negotiate Main Street, without a problem.
Oh, it's just awesome. The decorations are, like, incredible down there. You got to see, like, when you walk into Main Street and you see the trees right there in front of the train station in the main area. And, you know, I mean, it's just beautiful. They have a little train down below. I mean, it's just so gorgeous, the decorations down Main Street and the castle being lit up all the time. It's just a beautiful thing. You'll get down there one of these days.
Yeah. Yeah, and I took the time to tweet, at Walt Disney World, and I told them that they did a great job. Not that they're looking for my blessing, but, you know, people are quick to throw stones at them when they do something or close an attraction or something. But when they do something good, like in my view that they did with these wreaths on Main Street USA, they deserve kudos for that.
Oh, yeah, it's just something like eating roasted peanuts in Epcot at night and, you know, seeing all the trees lit up. And you see St. Nick at Canada in his checkered shirt, his plaid shirt. We're going to cover Christmas probably over the next few episodes, so we'll talk more and more about it. The one final thing I wanted to ask you, did you see the aerial view and how big Avatar Land's actually going to be?
Oh, yeah. You'll remember we talked about this off the air during the week. But, it's a huge area and – you know, I found it interesting just, you know, now that you can kind of get your bearings seeing it on as an aerial view, that it actually, most of Avatar Land is out, not outside the park, but if you drew a line where the main entrance point is of Animal Kingdom and you go to, you went to your left, like behind the Rainforest Cafe, that's really where Avatar Land is, and it kind of spills and goes up towards where the bus drops you off if you're a resort guest and you're taking the bus to the Animal Kingdom. So you won't be able to see it from out there, but geographically, when looking from overhead, that's where Avatar Land will eventually be.
Absolutely. It's going to be huge. I mean, if you really think about it, when you used to walk into Camp Minnie Mickey, when you would go from Discovery Island, where the Tree of Life and all is, and then take the left to go back into to Camp Minnie Mickey. Mm-hmm. That was, if you think about that walk over the bridge and everything else, all the way back to where the Adventures of the Lion King and all was.
Right.
That was a long walk.
Yeah. You're right. That was quite a long walk, and you didn't really realize it because it was nice, shady, and pretty much flat or downhill, even I think going down there. So. You're right. You didn't kind of realize that you were kind of heading back towards the front of the park, if you will, if you didn't really
pay. You were making a U-turn and headed straight back.
Exactly.
All the way back past the front gate, because actually Rainforest Cafe is right there on your left-hand side. You're basically walking by it, but you don't realize it because of all the foliage and the trees and stuff.
Exactly.
But it's right there.
Yep.
So, but no, I'm really highly anticipating the Avatar Land. I can't wait for that to open.
Yeah, I mean, from the overhead that, you know, we all saw, it looked like, you know, most, if not all of the infrastructure is in. And as you know, being in construction, that's the hard work. That's the work that doesn't really look like there's a whole lot of progress going on. Yeah. But once all the electrical's in and the plumbing and all that stuff, building the actual buildings and stuff will go fairly quickly, I would think.
Yeah, they get all the land done, all the surveying done, all the political crap out of the way, as you say, too.
Yeah, no.
You know, all the permits and all that. They're on the road. Once you get over that hump, you start moving forward pretty quick.
Exactly. We'll start to see things come up out of the ground, I'm sure, within the next few months. I'd be surprised if it didn't.
Absolutely. More announcements coming left and right on that now. Because what's the opening, 2016 on that?
I believe so, yeah. So,
yeah.
You know.
That's right around the corner, man. The older you get, the faster it goes.
Yep. We said it on an earlier show, and I'll say it again. I mean, I remember when we were sitting here thinking about New Fantasyland, and they said, oh, it's going to be 24 months till Mine Train opens up, and that seemed like a lifetime away. And it passed in the snap of a finger, you know. So we'll be over in Avatar Land before we know it, looking at big blue guys.
So, yeah, I can't wait. I know a lot of people are down on it, but I'm happy. Anything new, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be totally different from anything in any of the parks or any other park. So I'm excited about having something, you know, specific to Disney World.
Absolutely.
And the Animal Kingdom, which you know I'm pro Animal Kingdom.
Yes, very much so.
Well, that's going to be it for this week, Dan. You got anything else you want to mention?
No, we basically did a news show here, and there's so much going on, it made sense to do that. So, no, I'm good for this week, and we'll see what next week brings, and we'll have another great show, I'm sure.
Yeah, please follow us on Twitter, over on Facebook. Please go to iTunes, guys, at WDW Main Street. Leave us a review, because we could use you to do that, even if you do it again, because I know a lot of you did it for our old feed. And if you could please go over and just give us a quick little note for us, we'd really, really appreciate it. We also want to thank Bob from All In WDW. We did that little food blog for him for Spice Road Tables, or we say SRT over here on the Main Street podcast. But we want to thank Bob for releasing his little audio for us over there. We did a little food review for him. And our number one fan now, Mrs. All In WDW, we want to thank you for liking our podcast. We really appreciate you. I know we're an acquired taste, and we appreciate all your support. So that's going to be it for this week, Dan. You got anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right, guys, have a great week, and we will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Later.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.